B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
Sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Second and goal to go from the two. Allen motions left to right, then reverses direction. Brady under center. A give to Burkett. Runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
What a call, Sosie. We're going back, baby. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. America's worst nightmare is back. We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. Pack your bags, start our buses. We're coming home, Boston. Oh, my God. Can't believe it. It's not their year, right? It just might be.
Got a rather strong response here on email from Peter. Who says, are you serious? F no, you can't.
Oh, Jesus.
On the beard. He says, yes, I'm superstitious. The fact that you grew it at all shows you were, too. And now that it's actually working, you're going to stop? I swear to God, I'll switch to Felger and Maz. Because they're not even that stupid. Please
no,
don't.
Stupid.
Shaughnessy, yay or nay on the beard?
I think that caller's right, that email.
Of course you do.
I think you got to stick with it. You'll get
blamed. You're dumb tomato.
You'll be like this year's Malcolm Butler. Shave the beard, had it all going.
The tweet from KT Nichols, love the beard on Hardy. She's been a strong supporter since day one, and she says, do what you want with yours, Mark Bertrand.
Thank you.
She have teeth?
Appreciate the support.
She does. She's a lovely person.
Appreciate that support. I got the blessing from Zoe.
We got a great video up there on the... NBC Sports Boston of Jimmy Stewart getting his beard shaved.
Yeah.
How about I shave it
and I mail it to Trooper Ben?
What did they do with his hair?
That guy's always looking for hair.
Look at this. Oh my God.
Congratulations, Trooper Ben.
You'd have to pay me to shave that. Like, I wouldn't pay to shave it. get rid of the beard. You're done. If you've served, it's done.
So's adamant. So's like, get rid of it.
You know what the ironic thing is? It's more maintenance than shaving. I'm an every other day shaver.
Oh, it's so much easier to shave.
No. Because I have to trim this every other day, and you have to, I shave around the parts.
I'm saying it's easier to not have it and just shave normally every day. Yes.
And that was my point with Felger when he started growing the beard, because his whole thing was like, nah, it's just easier. I'm like, isn't it more work? And it is 100% more work for this.
Felger morphed into Harrison Ford when he played Richard Kimball. In the one-armed bandit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so Dan, you're back from Kansas City?
Barely. Yesterday was not a Buffo travel day.
Well, what happened?
Oh, Crimea River.
You guys know.
All media types.
We got out fine.
I'm still there.
We got out fine.
You just asked me. I'm just telling you. Of course you got out fine. How was the landing?
I think we slid a little bit. But yeah. It's a big plane. Stick that sucker, man.
Anyone that's dealt with Logan the last 24 hours, it's been, it's not their fault. I mean, it's ice. You can't do anything with ice.
You can't melt it.
So, a lot of people didn't get out. So, I was happy to get out. Great trip. Zoe and I hanging Saturday night. I'm sure you all saw her on
you
Twitter.
You guys were together.
Oh, my gosh.
So, we...
what a moment.
It was me, Capello, and Sosie on the other side of this restaurant, barbecue place.
And you met Bob Sosie for the first time, which is remarkable.
I didn't see Dan. Bob saw Dan's hair. He goes, oh, look, you're Shaughnessy over there. Yeah. He goes, that's interesting. He goes, all stuff, covering the team. And I never met Dan Shaughnessy. He just never really said hi to me, or I never really said hi to him. So
I didn't know who
he
was. I just heard your descriptions. He's kind of in the shadows there. He was behind the scenes.
So you met him and you guys
got up, went over the table.
Very nice. Came over.
And we sent out the tweet of me and Ben Volen. Your tweet. Zoe took my phone, as he sometimes does, and sends out a tweet under my name.
I said, they're the sticky bandits. No, it's the wet bandits. Somebody walked in and goes, hey, look, it's the wet bandits.
I mean, the picture is hilarious. It's of what, Daniel Stern and Joe Pesci from, Home Alone. And anyway.
You and Mittens.
So that went out, and we were together. We came over to the table. We had the big globe table going, all that stuff. A great barbecue, whole thing, and a few Pats fans there. And again, the people of Kansas City are just too nice.
They are nice people.
We'll get to them. I don't know if they're all that nice.
We were walking through the parking lot on the way into the stadium on Sunday.
Nice people bring laser pointers to the game?
I don't know. It could have been anybody,
Oh, yeah, I think it was a Patriot fan.
There's always one dick in a crowd.
Come on.
The traffic going over, it's early and often, and the people lined up for their tailgate and the whole thing, and everyone's being so polite. You go first.
It looks like you're walking into Buffalo on steroids, and you realize you're not.
No. And then like
good
one,
people.
One car like was a jerk and started behaving like the way we would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was clearly, I said, that's a rental. That's a Patriot fan who's here out of town. That's one of our people. He's driving normally. Because yeah. everybody else is just too nice.
Normally.
And those poor people, they're all so like well-scrubbed and polite and you know, naive. They really thought they were going to win. We were walking through the parking lots on the way, and I'm like, these poor... This is like being at a turkey farm on Thanksgiving week. And they don't know what's coming. You know,
Dan, is this the year the tomato can has died?
No, they're going to get their hearts cut out. And they did. And they never knew what hit them.
But you didn't know that going in.
I did. I said it.
They
had multiple witnesses.
Kansas City, we did that all access. We took over one of their bars, and our Patriots fans are revved up, and KC was trying to give it back. And I'm like, well, you guys are really nice fans. He goes, you guys got Brady. We're a little worried.
Yeah.
And they justifiably were right.
Yeah.
I didn't think it. Like, you know, they didn't really think, oh, steamroll your rear. You know,
that game was sort of hanging in the balance right till the very end.
It was the biggest game in the history of their stadium. I mean, by 47-year-old stadium.
You took the Lamar Hunt Trophy back to Boston. Yeah. One of their founding fathers. The team still actually wears the old red Kansas City Chiefs thing with the A on it. AFL.
This is our trophy. This is our trophy. We thank you kindly for it. Thank you very much.
And we'll be taking that with
you.
It is your trophy, and we just took it home with us.
Trophy was in front of me on the plane.
Appreciate the gift.
Right there on the floor.
Appreciate the gift.
I felt kind of bad for them.
So
that sounds like a LeBron effect, though.
There's
like when the Celtics play LeBron, it's like, they'll give him a battle, but they're not going to beat him.
Yeah.
That sounds like how the fans were, no?
Yeah. They were excited. The place is juiced. Yeah. You know, freaking Mahomes is on every signage and billboard. Like, you can't get away from Mahomes' picture.
We were hanging with Dad Mahomes all weekend, too. He was in our hotel.
Friend of yours now.
Mom Mahomes, Dad Mahomes. Yeah, they were all there. Yeah, I talked to him at great length.
What did he say?
Well, he's a good character. We talked about the 96-97 Red Sox.
Oh, so did he remember you? Or
yes.
He did.
He didn't hate me.
No. You say like parents that I completely... Doesn't that say something about Patrick Mahomes? He is so good and has established himself at such a young age.
Forget about his old man.
I mean, when he first came into the league, it was like, hey, this is Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. This is Pat Mahomes' kid. I remember Jim has been on the Patrick Mahomes train since he went into the draft. I mean, Jim has been saying since the very, very beginning, you're going to watch out for this kid. This kid can really play. He's going to be good. So Jim knew about this guy long before we had really paid attention to him. And for a while, it was around here. Yeah, he's Pat Mahomes' son.
Yeah.
Now you talk about Patrick Mahomes and you sort of like forget that. He's already outgrown that part of it. He's just Patrick Mahomes now. Not awesome us. NFL quarterback.
Hanging in the bar. Wait till they see my expenses. It's going to say right there, you know, guest. Patrick Mahomes.
Wow.
It's right there. Yeah.
So you did get a chance to see him.
Oh, yeah. We were hanging.
And talked to him.
Couldn't shake him after a while, you know. And then the next day, he was at breakfast.
Oh, so you started to get bugged by
him. How was he feeling about it?
He was feeling good. You know, he said a little bit of regret when the boy, you know, chose football because he's a baseball guy.
Of course.
And, Beale, you would have loved it. I mean, he liked Kevin Kennedy more than Jimmy Williams. I mean, he was a Kevin Kennedy guy.
There were people that liked Kevin Kennedy?
That's what I said, because I'm like, oh, this is hard. Oh, nobody liked it. He's like, oh, no, I like Kevin Kennedy. He was going at it. And he was friends with Nomar and Johnny Val and Mo, and we were going over the whole thing. He lived in Quincy while he was here. I said, why did you do that?
Very patriotic town.
Hey!
Oh, sorry.
America. Where do you live in the marina? Where do you live down there?
We didn't go that far. Oh. No. He just said he was low on funds, so he's living in Quincy.
Oh. And, okay. Now it's low rent? Unbelievable.
And there was a woman with him who
I'm out on the Mahomes family. That's it.
There was a woman with him all furred up, and I thought it was my Mahomes, but they're not together. So she was not Pat, the quarterback's mother, who was also in the bar, in another section of the bar.
Oh.
And
it's a functioning split family.
Yeah, little sister Mahomes was we saw her the next day at the elevator. She was carrying around a picture, and we were hanging with the Mahomeses. Yeah.
Wow.
And I had a better feeling about the Patriots after meeting them for some reason.
I thought,
these people aren't going to beat the Patriots.
You're right.
Okay. These people are too nice.
Wait a minute. So you're Patrick Mahomes. You have Kansas City by the you-know-whats. You got everything. Yeah. You're the guy. You're endorsing every freaking product.
I know where this is.
Why's your old man hanging out in hotel bars and staying in some slummy hotel where Shaughnessy is? Why aren't you at Pat Holmes's 5,000-square-foot palatial pad?
Does he have one?
I would assume so.
Well, I don't know. He's still young. You know he may not have that.
You know what, though, too? You're right.
If he were smart, he wouldn't have that.
And if correct me if I'm wrong.
Who needs that?
He was already, I think he's got a kid with his college sweetheart. I think they're together. And so they're probably living together with a baby. Yeah. Probably a two-bedroom condo or something.
I'd live in a nice townhouse with, like, three bedrooms and, you know, two-car garage.
20 family members
and someone who cuts your grass and shovels the walkways. Like, don't deal with the big house if you don't have to.
So Dad Mahomes Beatles said he was a big – he loved Valentin and Nomar. And he said, you know, and Johnny Val, he said, yeah, he didn't want to move over to third base when Nomar came up. And I said, Johnny, you're going to have to go. Kid's better. And he was right. We talked about Nomar.
Valentin was a good third baseman. Good stick out of third.
I think he was there the whole year.
He was a shortstop, though.
Yeah, I liked him.
Like most shortstops don't want to make that move.
No,
you know, they think they're a shortstop.
Valentin tie-in. Valentin hit the ball off the club behind us when I was one of the few games I've gone to when I have double beers and the ball's coming and it's going to actually land right on me. And I move out of the way and I spill both beers on the Fairley Brothers' wives.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow, all ties
true
together.
True story. John Valentin hit the ball.
Well, Valentin could bang one off the wall for a dunk like nobody else.
He was smoking hot in those playoffs.
Yes, he was.
He was killing it.
All right. So he liked Kevin Kennedy.
Yeah. Liked Bobby Valentine, too, in his Met days or something. He was a Bobby V guy, too.
Meth days?
Yeah. Met. M-E-T-S. And he came up with the Twins, so he played with Ortiz, you know, early on. And he was in Fort Myers with us, too.
He's seen it all, man.
The Twins and Red Sox are both in Fort Myers.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dad.
Right, so he probably came up with Torrey Hunter then, too, right?
Yeah, he had all those guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
Richardson going to loss of three from the left side. It's no good. Morris going to let the rebound go to Tatum. He will dribble across half court. And the Boston Celtics continue their home court dominance. A phenomenal performance from the starting five here tonight. And the Celtics have won 9 in a row at home. They have moved to a season best 11 games over 500. Kyrie filling the stat sheet left and right as the Celtics win again. The final score, Boston 107, Miami 99.
Celtics in a sleeper last night at the Garden. Get a win over the Miami Heat. We welcome in the voice of the Celtics. Sean Grady with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Sean, how are you?
There's a little room just off the tunnel. And sometimes when Max is really tired, when he's been traveling, he'll sneak into that room and he'll grab a little 15, 20-minute cat nap before the game. And he's fresh. He's ready to go from there. So, I mean, just... file
for
it
next
away.
Time.
That's all I'm saying.
For next time, you guys can maybe show me where that is.
There's no right, and there's no camera back there.
I could never picture that taking a nap before a game, like even hours before a game.
Where do you think that? I mean, everybody finds energy. I mean, isn't it to bring everything back to 17 years ago or 16? Yeah, 17 years ago. Didn't Tom Brady take a nap
before the Super Bowl,
which I found
the locker room.
Yeah,
I found hysterical. Like just you're puking my guts.
Everybody's different.
Well, that's why Tom Brady is Tom Brady.
That's why he's the GOAT.
What do you make of the Celtics and where they are right now? Are they finally sort of finding themselves and righting the ship? And did that require maybe everything that went on over the last couple of weeks with Kyrie,
it feels
the
that
players
way.
And all that?
I think it feels that way. I also can sense very much, you know, within the crowd the last few games, I think you can tell there is an element of show me, of fans feeling a little bit burned, that they feel like they turned this corner a couple of times. And even within the context of games, it almost takes a while for the crowd, which was so super enthusiastic at the start of the year in the preseason and opening night, to kind of buy in, like, oh, okay, yeah, this one's going to be all right. So I think enough time has to go by. You know, every time, how many times have we said that? Okay, have they turned the corner? Have they turned the corner? It certainly feels that way. And the schedule's favorable. I think people are getting excited about Saturday night. You have a chance, you know, with Golden State coming in, you've got, and I'm sure there'll be a bunch of Patriots there. It's going to be an unbelievable atmosphere on Saturday. But now you're starting to take care of business against, you know, you have a lot of games here that you quote-unquote should win. You know, you got another Brooklyn game coming up, and you kind of owed them from last time. You got obviously the worst team in the NBA tomorrow. So I think what is quelling some of the enthusiasm is that every night you kind of, all right, good, Celtics got it done, and then you kind of hang your head because everybody keeps winning. in front of you. Toronto keeps winning. Milwaukee keeps winning. And it's, I think, what we talked about a week or two ago, that those top two seeds in the East, in my view, are gone. I think the reality of that is starting to hit.
Do you know something about Saturday night? You said Patriots are going to be there?
I may know. I'd be surprised.
So the day before they leave,
it's
big
informed, it's an informed opinion.
Schedule-wise.
Okay, it works. I understand that. I want to go back to last Saturday. So Marcus Smart ended up getting in a little dust-up, I guess, with Bembry.
Yeah, yep.
He gets a $35,000 fine, no suspension. You know, now that he's got the big contract, do you see any difference in him as far as, not a maturity question, but, you know, there's an incident here. Do we have to worry about this guy going forward?
His ability to absorb fines?
Yeah. Like, now he's just getting fined, but he's not getting a suspension. You know,
that's grown up. Last night, he has a much greater ability to deal with the fines. I mean, if it had happened three or four times already this year, you'd bring it up. But for it to happen once after 47 games or whatever it is, you know, I think that Marcus is a guy, everybody reacts differently to quote-unquote getting paid. And to me, Marcus Smart has had his best year easily. And he's a guy who clearly, I think it's been good to have it off his mind. And there are others on this roster and around the league. You can see they play. You're still concerned about it. So I think it's been obviously a positive thing for everybody for him to get that done. And I think it's funny because last week we were talking, Marcus, the night before, had literally said, you know what, we got to let Kyrie be Kyrie. And I think to some degree, as Jaylen Brown was telling us after the game, we were talking to him after the Saturday game in Atlanta, sometimes you got to let Marcus be Marcus. And I think you have to trade a couple of these type things throughout the course of a year for, you know, you make that deal to get what Marcus Smart brings you.
Sean, what about poor Phil, the security guy getting dragged down?
Yeah, Phil Lynch gutting it out, man, earning those, earning that big check out there on the floor. I mean, you just don't want, in fairness, it's really hard if you're not, you know, he's not in sneakers. Too.
No, he's in a suit.
It's right. You're in a suit. You got to, if you're anyone, obviously, you know, Max and I, everybody's in a suit. So if you ever have to walk on the court, you don't have the same traction. That's why you don't see people out there in suits, like shooting around and running laps and doing suicides out there in dress shoes. It's hard. It's hard sometimes.
We're talking to Sean Grandy, voice of the Boston Celtics, here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. To go back to Irving, with Kyrie and last night with Al as well. Al had a great night. It feels like when you get in trouble, the Celtics should be relying on those types of players. They should want to rely on Kyrie. And if you go back to the start of this stretch of the four straight wins in the Toronto game, he had all those assists, and he was, you know, trying to pass and trying to create things for other guys. And at times, Sean, I don't know how you felt about it. I felt annoyed by it because I think he's probably trying to, you know, make his teammates feel better about him on the court or something, or get into the good graces of his teammates. But I just want Kyrie to take over. That's why they have him.
It was about a month ago that Kyrie, in sort of one of those diatribes after the game, he said, and it wasn't his central point, but in the context of it, he said, listen, I can score whenever I want. And it sounded like that thing, what do you mean? Oh, you can score whenever you want? And you know what? You know what he showed us since then? He can score whenever he wants. And he literally could score 80, it looks like, on a lot of these nights, especially against some of these teams. So I think he's been very conscious. I think you're right at the start of games to get other people involved. And on a week after we had that big thing about him calling LeBron or whatever, a lot of the stuff you're seeing from Kyrie is sort of from that LeBron playbook, because LeBron did that too. LeBron was doing that at 18 years old when he came in the league. He was getting other guys involved from the first quarter of games. I think, you know, you want to find it. It's part of a player taking the temperature of a game early, trying to figure out who's hot, who's got it tonight, and trying to make everybody get into the rhythm. I think the only thing with me you watch Kyrie do is he literally is messing around with the game sometimes. Like, some of these passes are between his legs, behind the back, and there's an artistry to the game where sometimes you can have that get off my lawn view of it, of like, come on, just, you know, play the quote unquote right way. Or you can just sit back and appreciate the artistry and the masterpieces that he's painting out there sometimes. And I think the turnover numbers are coming up a little bit, but the Celtics are winning. They're winning now. And a lot of it, and obviously Kyrie is in the middle of almost every single thing they do, and he is absolutely hitting a button. He did it again last night. You look at some of these games during this run where Kyrie has just decided, you know what, I need to take over now. And that's what an MVP does.
Sean, who's the MVP of the NBA?
It's funny. They changed the voting a couple of years ago, and they made it more national. But I voted for 18 years for MVP, and this is how I started. I would start with best player on best team. And you had to have somebody else. That, as I made my list, you know, I needed an overwhelming case to overtake that. So starting with best player on best team, Milwaukee's been the best team this year. And there is no question who their best player has been. So I think what James Harden does is almost unprecedented, not just his ability to score, but his ability to get to the line and shoot a record number of threes. Obviously, that seems to contradict each other. So no one, as an offensive player, he's a savant, the likes of which we've rarely seen in terms of scoring. But he is still an atrocious defensive player.
Thank you.
Giannis affects the game in so many ways. And listen, we're halfway through. Golden State's still going to be heard from. I think they could end up winning the West after all their struggles. They could end up winning by 7 or 8 games. There are different guys who are going to be candidates here. I think, Kyrie is on the short list. But at this point, it's Giannis.
Good. I'm glad. I'll be very – I mean, again, we don't know what's going to happen between now and April. Yeah. But, I mean, if it were over today and it were not him, I think that was bad.
Player on best team. It's a great way – in any sport, it's a great way to start. And then you kind of – what I would do is I would make the all-NBA teams. You take those 15 spots. And once you did that, you were really sort of prepared. You had narrowed it down. And then you could,
I hate Harden. I don't like Harden.
Well, Harden's got 30 points or more in 20 straight games.
Another guy should shave his beard.
Yeah, he choked in the playoffs last year. Didn't like McHale.
Hate that.
That's enough for me.
Okay, well, choking in the playoffs last year does not affect the MVP voting this year.
I just don't like him.
They are winning with him. Chris Paul is out. Capella is out. And they're still winning some games. I mean, there's no, Harden's the number two guy here on this list. Okay. There's no doubt. I'm just saying, I think, Giannis has got a lead on him at this point.
All right, Sean Grandy, appreciate the time as always.
Hey, there's nothing I like better than waking up to be with you guys.
Thanks, Grandy. Appreciate it.
1:30, bro.
Sean Grandy with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brady under center. A give to Burkett. Runs it left for the win! Touchdown! Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
We're going back, baby! And there ain't nothing you can do about it! America's worst nightmare is back! We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years! Welcome to the Zoo! Welcome to the Zoo!
Dan Shaughnessy is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985.
Beatle music note. The Yankees play this before they take the field. You know that, Yankee Stadium? So there's that. And Hardy, you were not here, but are you up or down on the Who at Fenway? It's just not the same, right?
But it's not the same.
What do you expect him to see, Dan?
Half the Who, we know.
Former WBC and DJ Mark Hamilton asked what I think rude and also appropriate question. Shouldn't tickets to the Who be half off? And at this point,
well, it's the better half. I mean, stronger.
Obviously, you got to have
John Entwistle.
Yeah. Well, John Entwistle, but John Entwistle is one of the most underrated bases of all time. Keith Moon, in my opinion, was redefined rock and roll drumming. It's great. I'm in on it. I'll go. Okay. It'll be great. Beatle and I saw them together the last time I think they were in town. It was a really good show.
Yeah. So,
but I mean, I brought this up last week. I saw them 30 years ago on their 25th anniversary tour when they were old then.
Yeah.
1989 at the Silver Dome. And they were already kind of a retro act.
Yeah, I saw a farewell tour in 85 at Foxborough.
At some point,
Now, staying on the music theme, let me run the show here.
Go ahead.
Melissa Etheridge, pretty good, right?
I thought she was really, really good.
In that cold, I thought it was pretty good.
Oh, I thought she had some pitch issues.
Yeah, toward the end.
Oh, well, she sounded good in our
What do you have to do to be very good singing the national anthem? You have to be in key. And you have to hit all the notes, which she didn't.
It was clearly her. Like, it, you know, you just... I like that voice. I like the rasp, all that stuff. It was good.
She's a good singer. Yeah. I just didn't think it was a great performance
of
the anthem.
You try it when it's 8 degrees.
Would you go through
I'm not
her
a
window?
Professional singer. You try to go out there and not muff that punt, which he didn't. That's a dumb argument to make. No, you said it was really, really good.
I liked it. It was good.
It was okay.
So agrees me.
It was okay. Yeah.
What do you think? You liked the brisket. What did you think of the NFC National Anthem with Jimmy Buffett? Did you hear that one?
Did not.
One of the worst
really?
Renditions of the national anthem I've ever heard.
It was not good. No, it wasn't.
And then he did this. He put his hand out, extended his arm, and dropped the mic.
Ooh.
Someone should have picked it up and thrown it at him.
Now, they're not going to mess around with the Super Bowl. That's going to be pre-recorded.
Oh, yeah.
Has to be.
Yeah. Gladys will do a great job, but it will be pre-recorded.
They record one, and this I think I've read this. They've done this in the past. They record the rehearsal like earlier in the day or earlier in the week, so it's the right sound and it's gonna mimic, you know, what she's doing at that moment.
Our tech guys see it all the time. They're down there setting up the entire week, Dennis. So he watches the entire. They do the halftime rehearsal and they do the national anthem.
Yeah. What about any pips? Any pips?
I heard no pips.
I'd
put the pips.
I thought
in
all
there.
The pips were dead. I thought you said all the pips were dead.
I did not say the pips were dead. No, Beetle.
Pips. If they're not dead now, you just
that's like having Diana Ross and no Supremes. Happen. Yeah, you need Diana Ross and the Supremes.
Can you see?
Listen to this crap.
By the dawn's early light,
not great.
What so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming.
You ever been to a local high school boys basketball game and they let maybe a local firefighter who kind of does some karaoke on the side sing it? Yeah, that sounds like
not one of the strongest.
No disrespect to that guy.
No, definitely not. Yeah. Dan, no tomato cans on this run for the Patriots.
Nope.
Let's just get this out of the way. This will not be a tomato can in the Super Bowl either, right?
I'm not going to go that far.
What are you talking about?
I will say
defensive player of the year. You look at the money on that defense.
I feel really
good. Looked at their roster. And their money is allocated to some of these guys.
Of course not. No.
Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, their secondary, the franchise safety. You've got Ndamukong Suh in the middle. You've got
they spent some money. I remember
You've got Aaron Donald. You got these linebackers that will want to kill you.
Okay.
This is not a tomato can.
Okay. Didn't you think they were a little ill-prepared in the first half
of
that Sunday game?
Here we go. Shaughnessy's setting it up.
It's Goff running around, yelling at the tight ends and the linemen. I mean,
don't
it's like they weren't.
This.
They didn't know it was going to be loud.
Don't you do this?
You do know. You do know that the coach talks to the QB up until the 15-second cutoff to give them the coverage. Here's what you look for. Okay, here's what they look like they're doing.
That's when your voice comes in.
This is where it could be the difference, right? This could be the difference.
Yeah.
How can you do that in a Super Bowl? What if you're loud? What if it's a loud environment?
You know, Dan, I'm just curious where you're putting this Patriots team based on their two playoff wins so far.
What I saw the last 2 weeks, the first halves of those two games, Chargers and Chiefs, was as good as any Patriot playoff performances I've ever seen. The first halves of the two games. Now, you know, obviously they gave up 31 points the second half against Chiefs. Adjustments were made but the strategy and what they did, the execution,
I thought they got you on two illegal pick plays too on the backside on that bad throwback screen. Kelsey was a good 7 yards downfield on one of them blocking. So,
it did seem so open. Like, how could that happen? And they couldn't stop that.
That's what Belichick threw the tablet. He's showing the ref, here's the play on the tablet. And he slammed it and threw it.
They were able to score points in very little time in that second half. But, again, I mean, that was so impressive. And the preparation, just out-coaching your ass off the other team. You're just killing them. I'm impressed. And I did not think this was one of the stronger Patriot teams. The 5 road losses bothered me. I thought they were uneven. I thought linebackers looked slow. Mm. I thought they were getting gashed by. Remember those horrible running backs, Brandon Bolden, and Pittsburgh's third string guy. What was his name Samuel or something? You know,
I mean, matter now.
Ordinary guy. So I, you know, and the
that matters
and the,
now.
And Tom's saying the last 4 games are our best games. He's right, but the Jets and Bills just don't do it for me. I discounted those because of the Jets and Bills. Okay, but what we have seen the last 2 weeks, I'm not taking anything away. That is, and you pointed out earlier in the program. This is the tough path. They didn't get Houston at home. They didn't get the triple bye or whatever you want to call it.
The Tebow bye.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they had
Colts.
To play
got
their
the Colts
ass off.
Out of the dome.
Yeah. They didn't get the easy way. And then they had to go on the road. And we haven't, you know, 12 years since they won a road playoff game. And this was like going into Pittsburgh when they did it in the old days. That's what this was like. It was impressive.
Eric is in Lynn. Eric.
Hey, Zoe, Vito, I had a quick take on your beard. I just want to get it over with now. I waited way too long for this.
Okay.
Anyways,
let's do it.
Just keep your beard. But anyways, I got a quick point on Jared Goff.
Okay.
I think he's such a puppet. McVay makes all of his calls. He gets up to the line, and he was all flustered in New Orleans. And I wonder if it's going to be like that for the Super Bowl, since it's going to be on neutral grounds. And I want to hear your take on that.
I think that Jared Goff is going to be ill-prepared for the environment of the Super Bowl.
Sean McVay had to come over during that first half when they were down, and he had to get down and squat down in front of him. And almost it looks like he was talking him off the cliff. Like, hey, get off the edge, okay? We're okay here. You got to settle down, buddy. I'm giving you the play. And he kept going over, and that's his guy, though. But Goff needs that. Goff needs him to tell him what to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, Goff was a bust prior to Sean McVay. McVay has made this kid look great. And he has to continue to do that. McVay's, I just don't know, the week. And again, Dan, I talked about like 96, 97.
Him, possibly being a bust or.
No.
I'm basically, he looked a little rattled.
You're being a little
by the stage in the NFC Championship game.
That's a big one.
And I will say he sort of started to overcome that by extending plays and making some plays. And that's not on your head coach. That's on you.
Yeah.
So I do give him credit for that. But
they were down 13.
It just gets a lot bigger the next time you do this.
Yeah, they're going to be bigger. They're going to be so excited when that plane lands and they hit, and they're going to see the signage, they're going to see the Rams stuff, and they're going to get to their hotel and be like, this is man, walkthroughs, look at media day.
Yeah.
Get a pretty good, when we get to media night.
Yeah.
Remember how Eagles were kind of laid back? They weren't like, I just wonder how much different it's going to be with the Rams. Showtime. It seems like it's L.A. showtime for them.
All right.
We'll see.
Okay. Talib, they have Talib.
Yeah, that's
my point.
We should just write
and I love him.
Should write a story on him every day.
Nothing negative about him. No. I love him.
I do too.
He's gonna get a damn podium, which pisses me off.
Who?
Talib, because I'd love to get him.
I don't know.
During their time period.
Based on how it went last year, very few guys got podiums.
Well, think about it. Who's
at the basketball arena? State Farm Arena.
Okay, so it's gonna be Goff, Gurley,
Donald,
Peters, Cooks. Cooks is getting a podium.
Sue.
I don't know. Yeah, they might not want
to get to leave a podium.
Do you remember how few podiums there were last year?
It's like five, right? Yeah. Five or six.
That was weird.
Yeah, Pages had one empty. Remember?
If he doesn't get one,
they have to replace the Butler podium.
Oof.
You can still, if he's out walking around, you can still get him.
Yeah.
But what would you rather have, him at a podium or a walk around? Maybe you grab him for a one-on-one.
I want him for a one-on-one.
That's what's
I want him back.
There you go.
That's what's always hoping.
That would be gold.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Oh. Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Dan Shaughnessy with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. The NFL will look into a video that shows Tom Brady in the fourth quarter of Sunday's game at Arrowhead with a green dot flickering on his right shoulder, on his helmet area. What do you say? Breast, neck, chest.
About the breast, neck, chest, and head area. It wasn't too bad.
Is this Jim's laser thing? Is this Jim
this is laser. Close. The Patriots told ESPN that they were aware of the report and the video, but they didn't have comment. Brady was not asked about it after the game. He has not been asked about it at any point. This really wasn't sort of out there until yesterday afternoon. So he had already done his radio interview in the morning. And I don't know, is he going to – I know players have availability today, but he won't speak.
Yeah.
So we won't hear from him again until midweek. We're already almost at midweek.
You won't hear from him until it's required stuff he has to do.
Yeah. Will he talk tomorrow?
Everything's like TBD on the schedule.
Yeah, everything's to be determined. I'm just wondering if he's going to give a press conference tomorrow.
If he was smart, I'd just say, yeah. I noticed it early in the game, especially on that the interception down on the one. I saw Rob, and then I just blanked out and sort of lost all control.
Yeah,
that's the first time I started to notice it.
It's a green laser pointer that mm-hmm.
Is it a pointer though? Because it looks like
it is.
Big. It's yeah. it's not a dot.
It is a dot.
The video that
look
I saw.
Look at a better version of the video. All it's right. Definitely a dot. It's not a small dot,
that's
so
crazy.
It's probably coming from some distance, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I don't know how laser beams work. But if you look, when it goes like right across his chest, it's clearly a dot. It's a circle.
Uh-huh.
And so
mm-hmm.
there's now this outrage from, some Patriots fans, this outrage over the green laser dot.
Yeah, because of the Kansas City cheats.
Yeah. Should this be happening? Absolutely not. Is that cheap? Yes. Is that just wrong? What are you doing? Don't be doing that. A fan should never be trying to interfere with the game of blood.
Who brought the whistle to the Rams game? You heard that all day, right?
Oh, I mean, same type of crap.
Did you hear that too on the broadcast?
Oh, yes.
And why isn't there some... Whoever
like, I know, I'm like, where's the flag?
If you're sitting next to that guy, why aren't you like calling the security over or just punching the guy? And that is so annoying.
It's never okay. You know my feeling about the fans at Fenway that reach over, like permanent banishment from the ballpark.
Ryan wants dismemberment for that.
You don't get to come back. Yeah. You lose an arm or a hand or something. Yeah. I mean, you know, you get quartered. I don't know, something. Something for
the whistle at a,
harsh
at a,
punishment
at a game is just
that's whistle, that's laser pointers, all ridiculous.
It was the whole game.
So, of course, you know what the cry is from the very sensitive Patriots fans.
You think?
The few very sensitive ones. What if it happened here? Like, I don't know. They'd probably say, oh, look, the Patriots are cheating again. That's probably what they'd say.
Yeah.
That I could tell you that's what would happen. And the Max Kellermans of the world would be outraged. Of course we know what happened. But ask yourself this. Should we be outraged? Should we really be outraged over this?
No, it's a random small thing.
It's annoying.
Didn't affect anything.
It shouldn't happen.
Boom.
It's wrong. Everybody agrees it's wrong and it shouldn't be going on. Did it impact the game? Did it impact Tom Brady?
I mean, it might be saying something different had they lost. All right, but there is a news report out of Kansas City on this.
First at 10, a KNBC 9 News camera catching the moment last night. A laser is pointed at New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady.
KNBC's William Joy went over the video and joins us live at Arrowhead.
Laura, Chris, earlier today, the Chiefs and the Patriots told me they were not aware of the issue. But just minutes ago, I got an email from an NFL spokesperson told me they are now looking at the incident.
Chiefs, number one!
Immediately after, Chiefs fans celebrated what appeared to be a muffed punt. Our cameras captured a green dot on Tom Brady. The very next play, he threw an interception.
That looked a little diffuse, which implies to me that it's probably a laser pointer, similar to this one.
Dr. Charles Cobb has researched and written about lasers for decades.
This guy.
Charles Cobb?
Oh, I want to party with this clown.
Laser expert?
He's a laser doctor.
I studied lasers.
So hold on. Can we pause,
years.
Though? The implication here is that Brady threw the pick because of the laser beam.
No. He's just telling you where it happened at that point in the game.
I don't buy that.
Just telling you where it happened at that point.
Brady doesn't even look impacted on it, you know, before
so
the snap.
So this is Kansas City's version of Channel 7.
I'm not buying that part of it.
I think whoever did that was absolutely an idiot.
The laser shows up again on a Brady pass to Chris Hogan on the Pats' go-ahead drive. A couple plays later, we caught it a third time on a deep pass to Rob Gronkowski.
And it can cause temporary blindness if it crosses the eye.
Cobb says the green laser pointer could have been easily hidden, but do plenty of damage.
He would have been seeing spots out there instead of his receivers.
It's happened before. 2 years ago, Monday Night Football captured someone using a laser against Brock Osweiler.
It's tantamount to assault with not a deadly weapon, but assault with a weapon.
Cobb says it's easy to hide and wouldn't cost more than $25.
Nobody would have seen it. It has a warning label. It's like cigarettes. Kids shouldn't be playing with these.
It didn't seem to change the outcome, but whoever is responsible might face serious punishment.
Get banned for life, probably get sued by the New England Patriots.
I like this guy, Tom Brady.
Whose Rolodex is this guy?
I love this guy.
Where would you find this guy?
I love this guy.
How in demand is he?
You should be banned for life.
Yeah.
You should face a lawsuit from the New England Patriots.
It's a big afternoon.
And yes, and you will also be quartered.
Call me.
Cobb told me the same laser likely used last night is what's given the FAA some issues with people shining laser pointers into cockpits of airplanes and temporarily blinding pilots. Putting live from Arrowhead Stadium, William Joy, KNBC 9 News.
Now that is something that is dangerous. You know, shooting it at planes. That's happened over at Logan. That happened a few months ago.
Especially because it's not just getting it gets into the cockpit and it changes, you know, like how you're viewing the instruments and everything. You get the light refracting and bouncing around in the cockpit. Nobody thinks that's a good idea.
How do you get it in the cockpit?
There.
Put it through the window? You get it in through the window?
Well, how else would you get it in?
Well, then, how does it screw up things inside the cockpit?
Like, if you're down on the ground and you're pointing a laser up at a plane and you happen to get it, you know, to shine on the cockpit window.
Oh.
Then
but wouldn't it bounce through the window of the cockpit and, like, go off into space?
No, it's not a
beam. It goes right
through
it.
It's not a BB. It's a beam of light, and it can go through glass.
A laser.
It's not a rock.
Hmm. That'd be bad. They'd break the window.
All right.
It's like when those geese hit the engine.
Yeah, stuff. Sully.
Just like that.
We talked about that last week.
Last week, it was the 10th
anniversary. Sue those geese.
How's your date this week?
Week. Yeah, anybody's got anything?
I'm going to go eat salad when he does his dates. Yeah, no, then I check out that
segment. After last week, I think the income averaging on the dates is pretty good. We had the molasses flood. We had Sully.
I can't believe I wasn't here for that.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I'm just so excited for the first 105-degree day. Go down the north.
Laser pointers. Do you think it actually impacted Brady or the game?
No.
I don't either.
Of course not. Nothing.
It's obnoxious. It shouldn't happen.
But to your point.
They should sentence the person to death who brought the laser. But generally speaking, I don't think it impacted the game.
All right, so when does the Marshall Faulk stuff start in? When does that kick in? Has anybody called him yet? It's like Mercury Morris when you
hear about it. It's not really Faulk anymore. It's Eric Dickerson has taken over that.
He has no more relationship to that.
Well, he says us. It's us.
George Allen.
Yeah. Well, it's the LA Rams again.
Well, he's part of the organization now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's us. Yeah. And he keeps referring to us. We, us. And he
I think it'll ramp up
30 years
ago. Oh, my gosh.
Next week.
Can't get enough of that.
Plenty of that.
You know.
We should get Dickerson on our show.
What was that guy's name? The guy on the golf course in Hawaii? Matt?
OJ.
Walsh?
Matt Walsh. Thank you.
Mm. Yeah, taping the walkthrough.
He could get an interview on Radio Row this week if he wanted to show up.
God, it'd be big.
Mossy had that, right?
Walsh. Yeah. That was great.
Matt Walsh wanted to show up and talk to anybody.
It was out there.
Wonder what he's doing now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.